Hello. Freddie Powell.
Hello.
That's the right pronunciation?
Yeah.
Thank you. We have another young'un on the podcast today. 25? Recently just had a birthday on the 11th of April. Would that be right?
That is right, yep.
That's my research.
You're doing well so far.
Good. Well, belated happy birthday.
Thank you.
So 25 years old, you're the same age, will be the same age as my youngest son, will be the same age as you in a week or two. So Freddie, tell me, where did it all begin?
Where did what begin? Where did pickleball begin? Or where did...
Well, where did sport... Well, yeah. Where, so let's clear this up.
Yeah.
You're half English, half American. Yes. Or would you say you're more English, but you're brought up in America? So tell us that
yeah,
journey.
So I was born in Indianapolis, in Indiana. My parents are both English. My dad happened to be working there at the time.
Right.
So I have an American passport. But they moved back to England when I was two.
Right.
And I've grown up in Poole from two till I was 18. So I would classify myself as English. Yeah.
Not a bad place to grow up though, is it?
No. No, it was very nice.
And Indiana? So are you a Colts fan? Or
I am. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't have anything else to go on. So I was like, I may as well just be a Colts fan.
And I can't remember how well they did this year, did they?
Yeah, not that much.
Not that much.
When I'm there. Yeah.
But it's a great sport because, isn't it? If you're the worst, you get to pick the best for every year, don't
yes.
you?
So it's like it's an interesting setup they've got with the draft system.
Yeah.
It does seem like it keeps things rolling over where one team doesn't end up dominating for such a long period of time. There's a cap which every team has the same cost cap.
Yeah.
And whoever you get in the draft is based on how you did in the season.
Which leads really, really well. That's a great link, though.
I know
where I'm going with this, don't you? So the PPL.
Yeah.
So Team Bucket.
Team Bucket?
Team
Bucket?
No, it wasn't Team
Bucket. Oh, no.
Part of Team Bucket.
No.
That's what James said. Anyway.
Part of Team Bucket. That's not to do with PPL, though.
Oh, that's something else, is
that's
it?
That's something else, yeah.
But which team were you in the PPL?
I was Team Scan in season one.
And where did you guys end up?
So we finished the season in third, which was... It was a good result. We entered the last weekend of the regular season, being able to finish first, second, or third.
Right.
So we ended up coming third. We lost to Thaddeus' team in a dream breaker, and we lost to James's team 4-2. But we really could have won both matches, quite honestly.
Were you skipper?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We could have won both, and we would have won it, which would have been nice. But no. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going back to the link, the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean you get first choice, or have you been nominated captain again for season
yes.
two?
Yes.
I see Sadie has posted something, and so has James.
Yeah. So we.
And Louis.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're announcing the captains at the moment on social media, and we do have most of the captains. Being the same, we've got a couple of new faces. So we're releasing that now. And then as far as the draft goes, we've actually decided the draft order, but haven't released that yet.
So that's for the
that we did that
for
randomly.
That's for the Premier chip.
So that's for Premier. Yep, that's for Premier. Yeah.
And then there's another team, the Legends. No, not Legends.
Masters.
And then you've got
Challenger.
The Challenger. Yeah. So the Challenger is what, the one below the Prem.
Yep.
And then the Masters, yes. Which I actually applied for, but I don't
did
know.
Did you?
I put my name in, sod it.
You know, why not?
I'm up with the right age.
No, it's going to be really good. We've had a lot of we've had good response from I think from the 50 plus demographic. Everyone seems to be really excited about it.
So there's going to be a lot of disappointed people then.
Potentially, yeah, but. You know, it's still an opportunity for people to come and join in the festivals and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Can only be good for the sport though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think to be honest with you, with the PBL, that is one of our biggest aims, is to provide a platform for the sport to grow in this country as a whole anyway.
Yeah.
Before the PBL, you know, we were kind of stuck training with our little groups. Where we were based in the country, waiting for Nationals, English Open, big tournaments like that.
Yeah, you never got to play against each other, did you?
No, and also it meant that you knew of everybody roughly, but you only really knew a few people.
Yeah.
Now with this team event, especially, it's brought a lot of new kind of friendships and I think relationships again, which is what you want to what you want to see as well.
So that's great. So I'm probably going to go back now. So Freddie Powell, you are not a professional pickleball player, or are you technically professional?
I class myself as semi-pro.
Semi-pro, yeah. Because you have to work.
Because I have to work. Yes.
Yeah. Which is a shame. I suppose is the aim to become a full-time professional?
Yeah, we're working on the aim at the moment. Got a lot of directions I feel like I could go, but yeah. That is definitely one of them. Just need to figure out how we're going to make it work.
Because your background is tennis, isn't it?
Yeah.
So where did that, because I see you were in America.
Yes.
So was that a choice, the scholarship?
Yep.
Did you start playing tennis here?
Yes. So yeah, I started playing tennis when probably 7 or 8. I was at school and we just did PE, and the tennis coach said, went after each day, the tennis coach came up to my parents when they were picking me up from school and they were like, you should get this guy lessons. And my mum was like, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. And then at the end of the week, he was like, I've entered him into county training. You need to get him lessons.
And so how old were you?
I was like 8.
Oh, wow.
So
a gift started
playing tennis. Yeah. I mean, I played absolutely everything as a kid that I could possibly play. Until obviously you kind of need to choose what you're doing.
It's the bugger, that, isn't
always,
it?
Yeah, it's, it always needs to happen. But
was that a difficult choice though to make? I assume when you say all the sports.
I mean, football, cricket, rugby, yeah, everything. I don't know. I think I did choose it just purely based off of enjoyment. That's always what I've tried to do throughout my life, and mainly why I've now gone over to the pickleball side, purely because I just enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I played tennis. I got, you know, relatively decent. When I was 18 under, I was top 20 in the country. And that was when I was kind of looking at going to American University.
Right. Is that because of tennis? Because that's a better pathway to get to pro?
Also, it just presented a fairly kind of, I felt, unique opportunity where I had the chance to go and study in a different country, completely separate from everything that I'd grown up with. Yeah. And it was just a great opportunity to have a new experience. I wouldn't change that decision for sure.
And that was Drake University.
Yes.
And where is Drake University?
Drake is in Des Moines, Iowa, which is right.
Sounds like that's really hard of America.
The middle. It is about as far away from the sea as you could possibly be. So
it's a real contrast from Paul then, isn't
very
it?
Much so, yeah.
So is that the heartlands of America, is it?
Yeah, Midwest.
Midwest. But is it tennis country?
I don't know. I wouldn't say it was tennis country. It was a very good tennis school. I mean, we were Division One. We're top 50 pretty much all the time I was there. They love their basketball over there, though.
Right.
And that was the big one at my school. But yeah.
So when did this, so the journey through tennis?
Mm.
So you're relatively new to pickleball. So when where was that transition, and how did that come about?
Yeah, so when I was playing for the university, you have 4 years of eligibility at American College for playing on the team.
Right.
Everyone who was in my year or around my year obviously experienced the COVID.
Yeah, okay.
And nothing happened that year. So everybody at American University with a scholarship in the COVID year got an extra year.
Right.
Because all sport ground to a halt and nothing happened.
Okay.
So that basically just didn't exist. So instead of having 4, I now essentially had 5, which meant that I made the decision to stay and do a master's. Unfortunately, in the last year and a half I was there, I got a stress reaction in my humerus from basically overuse and tennis and serving. And I'd had it since I was probably about 18, and no one really had diagnosed it. But that put an end to me playing tennis for a good while.
And was that time, just because you just got a rest for rehab?
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't do anything really. But at the time I was also, you know, at uni, and I had a bar job at a sports bar called Smash Park in Des Moines.
What a great name.
Oh, no, it's a great place. And they had 4 pickleball courts.
All right.
Three inside and 2 outside. And every now and again after my shift, I'd just go and kind of whack a few balls. And I was like, you know,
okay, fine.
What is this? but I wasn't really playing properly. I was just kind of playing, as a lot of tennis players do, just kind of playing mini tennis, essentially. Yeah. So I started playing a bit there and I couldn't play tennis. So I just played a little bit more, And, I was
and that's not too, it wasn't too impressive on
your shot? No, because, I mean, the paddles were lighter. Ball is, you know, pretty light. Not a lot of overhead stuff. I mean, occasionally you hit a few smashes, but I mean, you know, in tennis, you have to hit a serve to start the point. Or you or your opponent does. So 50% of the time you are serving the whole time. So yeah. And it's kind of just grown from there, really. It's just all grown around me enjoying it. That's it. That's really it.
But was there a decision to come back to the UK then when you'd finished your fifth year?
Yes, that was
always the plan.
Probably the trickiest decision I've had,
right,
to make. But yeah, came back, and it was funny. I came back, and I think
with a plan. Came back with a plan.
Yeah, I mean, I came back to a job in London, but I, sporting wise, not really, because I hadn't played tennis for about a year.
Right.
Which for me was, you know, outrageous because I've been playing tennis nonstop. Playing since so was,
7 or 8. So what's that? That's what, a couple of years ago?
So I came back and, you know, at this point I was enjoying playing pickleball in the States. I'd never played a tournament or, against anything real high level, but I did, you know, really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Sorry. And I looked up pickleball in England.
Yeah.
I was like, wonder if this is even a thing here. And I found pickleball England.
Okay.
I found the Southwest Doubles League.
Right.
And there was one happening in like 2 days after I flew back home. Yeah. There was one happening in 2 days at David Lloyd Southampton. And I just signed up. And
so you'd landed, gone back home.
Yeah.
To Paul. And
yeah.
Then, oh, that's great. Southampton.
I don't know. But I was
just up the road.
Thought, why not? I'll just go and sign up and turn up. So I put my rating as a 4-0, I think. And the guy who runs it, a guy called Rich Toms.
Right.
He's the Southwest pickleball director.
Yeah.
But yeah. He basically didn't believe, or I might have put myself as a 5-0. Anyway, he didn't believe me.
So he pulled you down.
So he put me in like the second group.
Okay.
and that was quite fun because, you know, everyone was like, who's this guy?
Not seen him around.
Yeah.
And, well, you're a 4. Yeah,
and
all
then,
right.
Yeah, and then through them, they all went, oh, you all need to meet James. You need to meet James. Because James is from Southampton.
Right,
and he was, you know, one of the best players in the country. Yeah. And they're like, oh, you need to meet and play.
And he's an ex-tennis player.
He's an ex-tennis player as well. So yeah. James was actually the first person.
Did you know of James before then?
No.
Or no?
No, but he was
not
the first,
in your tennis.
He was the first person that I met. Right. I would say out of the group that we play with now.
Right.
I got to know. So yeah.
He's a pretty good player as well.
Yeah, not bad.
He's just reached 6, hasn't it? Duper rating of 6. He's the highest rating UK player at the moment, isn't he?
He has. Yeah. Just got to 6-0.
He's a singles player.
Yeah.
That's some going, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I think if you watch him when we went to the American tournaments, you know, we went to Miami, went to the US Open, it was good. It was good watching him, you know.
He was up against some good
wipe
players.
Wipe some of the smiles off the Americans' faces. It was very enjoyable. So
he did quite well, didn't he?
Did very well. Yep, both of them. Had a couple of good runs, got some good wins. So
Good. Yeah, hopefully James will come on here at some point. But he's a very busy man and he's finding time.
He is an extremely busy man.
He's very busy, man. He's got a full-time job. And I said to him, messaged him and said, like, when do you fit pickleball in? And he sort of said, that's a good question. It's just how he made to maintain that level and have a full-time job.
I think we're all a lot, to be honest with you, that is the problem that we have.
Yeah.
More than I would say anybody else in world pickleball at the moment is just purely the amount of time we're all able to devote to it and devote to actually getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, we went to India this year and played the Indian Open.
Yeah.
And didn't really know what to expect. But you know, these guys are playing 4 or 5 hours a day, specific training regimen, just grinding, like absolutely grinding.
It's massive over there, isn't it?
Just there like, all right.
Massive over there though, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. But that was a surprise, I think, to us as, because we all expect to be behind America when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of the rest of the world, we're actually now in the professionals' sense of pickleball, we're behind.
What, in numbers or just in standard or both?
I would say in kind of accessibility to training and facilities and time, to be honest with you. And you know, I've said this a few times when we've gone to America and stuff, you know, we can't keep turning up to all these tournaments and then just being like, ah, you know, we play 2 hours a week. That's fine. We can deal with losing. We play 2 hours a week. Like, you can't.
Well, you can't. I mean,
you can't just keep bringing out the same excuse. Like, that's not their fault.
You're a Chelsea fan. Yeah. You're a football fan. I mean, these guys just don't turn up on Saturday, do they? I mean, they probably train 2 hours a day, but probably with a football, but every day, isn't it? 4 or 5 days a week.
Yeah. And you've got, yeah, I mean, if, when got, it's your job, it's your job. Like, exactly. You know, you treat it as a job. So,
how can that change for you? What do you need? I mean, is it external? Is it more sponsorship? Is it? I mean, Pickleball England have done a brilliant job.
Fantastic job.
I might just jump to the next question. Or I thought, because there is this argument again. Yeah. We digress slightly. We'll come back to other things. But the running of pickleball in the UK. Yes. You know, there's this ongoing argument, and there was an article in the paper. James had.
Is there?
Well, I hear. And most people I talk to say Pickleball England do a fantastic job, and I agree with that. And a lot of people I listen to don't want the LTA to be involved because they don't want to be sort of just pushed down to one side. Sport England need to recognise the sport, don't they, for there to be opportunities for funding. Because it's not recognised yet, I don't believe, in this country. So we play it, but it's not actually recognised by a body in this country, which is madness. So I don't know how that changes if the who makes that decision to take over the running of the sport? You know, who the governance of it? That decision is going to be made soon, isn't it?
Yeah,
I don't want to put
No.
I just want to view how you think what could be best. In your view, from being in the inside?
Okay. So, yeah, this debate has been going on for a while. I'll give you my stance on it.
Yeah, of course.
So...
It's just a stance.
It is a stance. I want what's best for pickleball in this country.
Yeah.
I want pickleball to grow and become as big as... it can be.
Yeah.
And I want as many people to be able to access and enjoy it as they can.
Right.
I don't know who is best to facilitate that.
Right.
I genuinely do not have the wherewithal knowledge to feel comfortable really hammering home something.
Yeah.
However, What I don't want to happen, and this is what I've said, is that I feel like there is a chance that the decision either gets dragged and dragged and dragged and it doesn't get made and we're still in this position 6 months down the line,
mm-hmm.
or a decision does get made, the other side challenges it, and then we're going back and forth for another 6 months. In my opinion, pickleball is the loser in that outcome.
Yeah, of course.
So that is what I don't want to happen above all else. I don't want this to overshadow the growth of the sport itself.
Who ultimately makes the decision, though?
Sport
England.
Sport England make the decision as to who becomes the
governing body,
official governing body of the sport, whether that's the LTA or Pickleball England, yes.
I suppose there is a mid-ground there where Pickleball England can still run the sport under the governance of somebody else, but then that probably then they get restrictions because they're not...
Pickleball England, I don't think that would.
Want that, no.
No. And, you know, I want people to understand the sport. I want people to experience the sport and recognise it for what it is.
Yeah.
I have been to the LTA and run a session at the National Tennis Centre, just opposite the road from Roehampton Club.
Yeah.
And they didn't really know what it was, to be honest with you. I mean, not to be honest with you, they had no idea what it was.
Which then that leads to that same thing well. If they don't know what it is,
I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just being like, this is kind of how it is. Like they just didn't know what it was, and that's fine. That's the reason I was there. Did they enjoy it? Yeah, they had a great time. They said a lot of positive things, and it was great. If you talk to everybody around pickleball in this country, I think the general consensus, as you mentioned earlier, is that Pickleball England have done a brilliant job, because they have.
Yeah.
They've increased participation.
Yeah.
They have just grown the profile of the sport and done a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
There is a lot of positive sentiment towards them. And I fear that the LTA underestimate the sport and the people who are already a part of the sport at the moment.
It's definitely a passion.
I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
If they do become the governing body, I hope that I'm wrong and they don't, but this is a different group of people you're dealing with to paddle, to beach tennis or something like that.
Padel. So. Oh, paddle.
Yeah.
I was pulled by Rob Williams. He told me it's Padel.
Oh, did he?
But Padel are under the governance of the LTA, and there's noises from the Padel world that they're not happy with what's happened, and participation hasn't grown. I mean, when you think, my understanding in America, there's officially they say there's 9 million, but it's like more like 30 million people that play pickleball in the States. Over here, I remember last year talking to Karen at Pickleball England, there's 14,000 registered members of Pickleball England. Thinks there's more than that playing, and there's no reason why people please sign up, because it's free, you know, just to register. But those numbers are the official numbers. It could be more, obviously, but I think that by 2025 it might be 25,000 people that are registered to play. So, you know, it's nearly doubling every year, and it's still in its infancy. But everybody I meet, and this is one of the reasons why I do this, is what I wanted to. Just to grow the community of the sport, meet people like yourselves who are passionate about it. I mean, you're obviously passionate about it. What is it about the sport that you want it to grow? What is it about it? What is it? I know why I do it. Mm-hmm. But why do you do it? And why do you want it to grow? What are the benefits?
Yep. So from my personal point of view, I said earlier that all my decision-making around what I do and sport especially revolve around enjoyment and the enjoyment factor. I've found a great community of people. I've got a great core group that I play with a lot, and
fast hands, Louis, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big shout out to Louis. Part two's been and gone now, mate.
I'll let him do that. great group of people.
Yeah.
It's socially, I bring up this example.
Go on, please.
So earlier this year, I played Louis in the final of a tournament in Alicante. And yeah, I guess it wasn't a massive tournament. It's still a tournament. You want to win, bit of prize money on the line. And take tennis, for example.
Yeah.
If I play someone in the final of a tennis tournament, we'll have next to no interaction before the final.
Yeah.
Be all business during the final.
Yeah.
And after the final, arguably not a lot going on either.
Yeah, yeah.
Depending on how it went. Pickleball. Now, you know, myself, Louis, James find playing each other
a lot.
Quite a lot.
Yeah.
But he won the first set, I won the second set, and we decided to go on a toilet break together after the first two sets, before the third set, and just have a chat. You know, everyone watching, and we just walked off the court together and had a chat on the way to the toilet and back again before the third set. I mean, that just doesn't happen. No. That doesn't happen and arguably probably shouldn't be happening. But from my point of view, that is, I know it sounds ridiculous to say that's why I play it, but I feel so comfortable in that situation that I can do that and not feel like I should be, you know, I play the sport because it's fun.
But that happens in other sports. I mean, I grew up, rugby was my thing, you know, and that's what I love about rugby. It is that comradeship. You can
But rugby's a team sport.
It's a team sport, but you're not seven bells out of each other, but at the end, even then you pick the bloke off the ground, have a smile at him, and at the end you tap him on the shoulder, even if he nailed you or whatever, and you go and have a beer.
Yeah.
And what's done on the pitch is done. You want to win and it's done, but there's still that social interaction in that aspect. I know it's a team sport, but you're in some ways, pickleball, there's a lot of doubles as well, isn't it? So there's a lot of that coming. And a lot of the you're playing is in a team as well, isn't it? That you're representing, you know, you've got the PPL and you're a team.
Yeah. Yep. And that just plays into the...
You played in a sort of Ryder Cup version, didn't you?
I didn't. I was...
Did you not get selected?
Oh, no. I was there for moral support.
Were you injured?
No, I went there to play the tournament and then injured myself on the second day I was there. So I really was there for moral support then. But that's okay. We're nearly there.
But so you're talking all everything that underpins... so our club was set up by a couple called Andy and Tracy Colt. A big shout out to them. You know, they did it, I think, before COVID, and then it shut down there, and then they got their friends involved, and it was about 20 or 30 people. And now the club, Fleet Aces Pickleball Club, is 60, 70 strong with a 60 people on a waiting list, or nearly 70 people on a waiting list. We play in five different locations, but what underpins the club was always this social interaction and doing things as a club. You know, we've had Christmas dinners, we've curries and just those things where people come together and you have the rec night. And it's getting that balance of, right, we need to look after the advanced guys. We need to look after the beginners. We need to look after the intermediates. Because everybody, if they want to improve, not everybody wants to improve, but they need to be challenged at their correct levels. 2 hours a week, 2 hours a session at five different locations. That's 10 hours of pickleball to service 60 people. We'd love to service another 60, but you can't do it because you can't give everyone the time. Mm-hmm. And if you get bigger, you might lose that social interaction because you don't have a home. You are fragmented, and it is about, there's a nucleus of the 60. There's probably like 30 that turn up at the AGM, and those are faces probably that link the different sessions. There's a handful that go to all of them, and there's a few that go to that one, and that's what links, and that keeps that sort of socialization bit going. And that's what worries me, is because how do you maintain that without one home? With as a club, Aldershot, I think, have the same problem. They've got 40, 50 people. You know, Runnymede Royals have about 200, but apparently their demographic's quite high age-wise, so they can play during the day and they've got opportunities. So I love that sentiment, the fact that, you know, you can support and then you can go and have a beer.
Yeah.
Or a glass of wine or whatever you drink.
No, absolutely. Your preferred. Absolutely. I think that is one of our goals with the PPL. Is to provide another event where people can all come together.
Yeah.
And be exposed to a different type of pickleball that they're not used to seeing.
Yeah.
I would, you know, the type of pickleball that you'll see being played at on the Premier level, Challenger level, is, it'd be quite interesting to go and watch that level that you probably wouldn't see a lot of the time during the year.
Yeah.
So it creates a better atmosphere for the teams. It creates a chance for, you know, people to watch and maybe learn a bit. We're going to run the clinics as well. So
are they successful?
Yeah. Sold out every time.
That's basically what a coaching clinic.
Yeah, variety. So it depends on which weekend it is, but we normally rotate the captains as to who runs the clinics. So we all do chip in, but yeah.
Are you a qualified coach as well?
Yep. Yeah. Got the level 2.
Excellent.
So
got the level 1, so I'm one behind you.
Nice.
Well, nearly.
Nice.
Got to do the rules check. Do the rules test.
Nice.
But now, so you're currently injured. So I was told you had a broken foot.
Yeah.
And you need to rest it. Now this is one of your friends.
Okay.
Said he's got a broken foot. He needs to rest it. You tell me it's not broken, but how did you do it? What does it mean for your pickleball at the moment?
Yeah, so...
if you don't rest it.
Well, we're far enough down the line now where, it's kind of a bit... neither here nor there, really. I did it in Miami, so it was now just over seven weeks ago.
Right.
It was the second day, so I played the pre-qualifier for singles, got through.
But this the US Open or just the Miami tournament?
This is the Miami tournament. So the one where the Atlantic Cup was at. Right. But it was the Atlantic Cup and an actual ATP event.
Right.
Which was, by the way, ridiculously strong. It was unbelievable level. So
just forgive me, APP stands for?
Association of Pickleball Professionals. It's one of the tours in America. So you've got the PPA and the APP.
And the so, big yeah. hitters playing both? Or predominantly
PPA. But this particular one was strong, very strong.
Is there a conflict?
So, yeah.
That was about your foot. We'll come back to that.
The American situation with the tours is always an absolute circus. Luckily, that doesn't really apply to us, to be honest with you. Right. But yeah, so I made it through pre-qualies. So I played two matches the first day.
Yeah.
Had
singles.
Singles, yep. Yeah. Played one match in the morning. Won it, played well. Was in the second round of the qualies, playing a guy who'd made the quarterfinals of a PPA tour event a few weeks ago. So he was pretty good.
Yeah.
And the format was rally scoring.
Yeah.
First to 21.
Okay.
In qualifiers, which is pretty brutal.
I was going to say in singles as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was 12 all, and I lunged to hit a backhand volley on my left foot, and as soon as my left foot hit the floor, I didn't roll it or anything, just on impact with the floor. The side of my foot just kind of exploded in pain, and I couldn't
ruptures on it.
No, so I have a unfused apophysis on my metatarsal. Ready for this?
Yeah, I get my wife to watch this because she's a sports rehab massage therapist.
Yeah, so
she'll know exactly what you're talking about.
So my fifth metatarsal, the base of my fifth metatarsal, never fused properly when I was growing. There's a growth plate there. And it never fully fused. I have twisted a little piece of bone that didn't fuse properly.
Right.
And it became very inflamed around there. So much so that I couldn't put any weight on it. So I was in a wheelchair for a couple of days. Louis was wheeling me around Miami Convention Center for a couple of days, which was quite entertaining.
And the bars.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't playing, was I? So, unfortunately, it's taken this long to actually diagnose it in the first place because it's a bit of a weird injury. So I do have a plan. I've probably got another month. But unfortunately, it meant that I missed that tournament because that was the second day. So I missed doubles. I missed mixed doubles. I also missed the US Open, which was going to be the biggest tournament, I think, of the year, really.
Sure.
Sponsored by Franklin. So
yeah,
that would have been nice. But I still went
because
I had everything booked and I had a really nice time supporting everybody. That was great. That was a great event to be at. And then obviously I should have been playing Madrid this week. Literally as we speak, they're playing it. Yeah.
Are they all over there? James, Thaddeus?
James, Thaddeus, Louis. Smattering of others.
Yeah.
And then end of May, there's the Revolution Cup, which is quite a big tournament for all of us that I would be defending singles and doubles champion, but I'm
Where
not going to be able
Revolution
to do that.
Cup?
So that's in Rota, south of Spain. That's right. A shame because I would have liked to have gone and defended
You're undefeated then.
Titles. No. Yeah.
You're undefeated in that. See, whoever wins it this year, it doesn't matter because they haven't beaten you. So the following year.
Fortunately, that's not how it works.
No, I know, but you know.
But yeah, so anyway, we'll get there. But so I should be good for the start of season two PPL, and
rest and rehab, yeah.
Yeah, take as much weight off as I can. And I'm also going to get a steroid injection into the side of my foot. So, yeah, there we go.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, you look after that.
I will.
Because the sport needs you. Because, you know, they say he's full of flair, he's a showman, he's energetic, and he's a shot maker. Who do you think said that?
I don't know. Who did say that?
James.
James said that, did he? Nice. Yeah, well.
Was James or Louis, one of the two.
Oh, right? Is it? Yeah.
Okay, it was James, most of it. Okay.
Yeah, no, Louis would never say something that nice. I mean, when I was playing tennis, I always was kind of a bit of a go for the outrageous shot, which was not really the way forward. But that's part of the reason I really enjoy pickleball is I feel like you can be so creative on the court and hit so many different types of shots that it's just keeps it really fun. And no rally is kind of the same. And I know that's the same for everything, but it's something that I really enjoy.
Rumour has it, backhand's your best shot.
Yeah, it's gone through some good times and some bad times, but I think we're getting back into the good times, which is good. But yeah, no, it's my favorite shot, always has been.